The tranquil beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals Thursday, 10 p.m., and time for So What's Your Story. We're live, and the only show originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling right here, only on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, Professor of Communication Studies at the University of Houston downtown, with essential team player Shannon McKerchy. You know, 'tis the season for everything good, and that includes the magic of story. Memorable moments told by people whose desire to tell their stories overpower any apprehension they may have about delivering them. These tellers touch hearts, and do it by harnessing the one thing that makes their stories consistently great. They own them. These tellers are creative, funny, poignant, and often very young, like the two incredible students from Johnston Middle School sitting next to me right now. And if you've heard these amazing kids from Johnston on this show before, you know there's no hyperbole here. Kayla Club is an eighth grader at Johnston Middle and has a burning passion for writing. She's always writing something. Lyrics, posting poetry online for family and friends, and composes poems on anti-war themes. She enjoys time with her family and taking part in Johnston's cheer and mascot squad. She hopes to attend the University of Missouri to study communication. Carson Brown, also in the eighth grade, enjoys reading books about fantasy, though his favorite is Japanese manga. He also loves video games, writes poetry, and sings in Johnston's award-winning choir. He plans to attend Texas A&M and become a vet, and I think he is an awfully funny guy. I made reference to him a couple of weeks ago. Welcome, you guys.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Oh, come on. You can do better than that. What are you, nervous or something? You have no nervous bone in your body.
Slightly.
You are? This is wonderful. You guys are great, and you're going to be great, and everybody in your school has this creative genius that's pathetic. I have to tell you something. We're all enviable. We're all envious, and it's all Mrs. Alt's fault. We're going to talk about her a little bit later. Now, Kayla, what inspired you to write poems about anti-war? I'm fascinated about that. I was telling you before the show that having gone to college during the Vietnam era, yes, I'm that old. But having done that, I'm fascinated by anti-war themes, and it takes a lot of moxie to do it. It takes a lot of grit and determination to put together that theme. How'd you become interested in that?
I've always wanted to write with as much integrity as I possibly can, and if something bothers me, I like to write about it.
Yeah.
I want to think in ways that kids don't normally think, just to prove that I can.
Okay. How do kids mostly think?
A lot of kids get caught up in shallow things and replaceable things, but there are more important things in my eyes.
Who taught you that?
A combination of my teachers, my parents, family, everybody around
me. Your mom's just watching right now, so we have to include her.
Definitely.
Having met your moms, there's no doubt that your moms are really pretty special people who have instilled this kind of depth and breadth of information in you, and I just admire them so much for that. Carson, you are an interesting person, and you like Japanese manga among anything. I mean, is that really your favorite?
Yeah,
Tell everybody what that is, if they don't know.
Well, manga is a Japanese style of cartoons where you read them from right to left instead of left to right.
Okay. From right to left rather than left to right. Okay. And could be Hebrew for all we know, right? But Japanese manga. How did you get interested in that? Because I don't even know anybody who knows what that is, other than you.
Well,
but you're not a normal person, are you?
No, not really.
Good. That's good. We don't want to be normal. Nobody normal is on this show. Japanese manga. How'd you become interested in that?
Well, my sister first introduced me to it when she started checking out from the public library. And then I started reading it, and I got so interested. And then I just started reading all these different series of it. And
Both of you have a strong sense of inquiry, and that's very important. Now, singing. You love singing. What kind of rewards do you get from that? You're in an award-winning choir.
Well, the whole award-winning thing is really just a bonus for me. I like pretty things. I do. And I also like making people happy.
Yeah.
And singing lets me do both of those things.
And you've got a holiday concert coming up, Friday night?
Yeah.
You have any solos in that?
No.
You're a first tenor?
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. Excellent. You want to be a veterinarian. Animals rock, don't they? They're better than people in some ways?
Yes.
I would think so. What is it about animals that you love?
Well, they're so simplistic, and then they're hurting, and then you make it better, and they love you so much, and they're all over you, and it's, I love you, I love you, I love you, and they love you forever, and
they're appreciative,
I just love
and
that.
They are loving. They're loyal. They're consistent. They're trusting. Yeah. How come people aren't like that?
People
or
are
how
petty.
Come many people are not like that?
People are just petty.
They really are they? Now, you are two intelligent, very, very intelligent young people, and I have to tell you something. You don't think like kids. You think like intelligent adults.
Thank you.
I have to tell you something. It's all right. But when you talk about many people being petty, where does that pettiness come from? It's a hard question, but where does that pettiness come from?
I think it comes from people always wanting to please others, and they care too much about what other people think about them.
You think they do care too much?
It really only matters what you think about yourself.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely true. It really only does matter. Kayla, let's get to your stories. Kayla, your story is entitled Being Pushed Apart But Pulled Together at the Same Time. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about what prompted that. What inspired that story?
I just wanted to give a different perspective of the holidays, especially mine, and I just wanted to go and talk about a topic that isn't talked about very often.
Let's hear it.
Yes, sir. With the holidays fast approaching, I have a lot of things to get done. It's just the usual routine that consists of buying gifts, cleaning, more shopping, and maybe even helping around the house if time allows it. It's nothing really unique, but it's a routine I've completed every year for as long as I can remember. The only thing is, and no disrespect intended, I know very little about my own religion. I'm Jewish, but aside from a few prayers and stories, I really don't know all that much. To be brutally honest, there are a few things about religion that have kind of bothered me. The way I've always seen it is something like this. Sure, we can all have a religion to bring us together over the holidays, but in actuality, we're being pushed apart, more than we even think. We Jews have Hanukkah, Christians have Christmas, not to mention all the other wonderful holidays like Kwanzaa. Yes, our families do come together, and that's amazing. But what about the rest of the world? What about the people we leave out? It seems that whenever we consider ourselves closer together than ever, we're actually just dividing ourselves into larger groups. Our religions can isolate us from other cultures during the holidays more than they bring humanity together. Not only have many cultural affairs been diluted by the greedy concept of wanting all the best gifts and replaceable things, but conflicts have always seemed to rise based upon our beliefs. I've seen so many people try to go around and push their religions onto other people. Each and every time, it creates an atmosphere of annoyance rather than tolerance. But is that really what we want? If we're just going to be criticized for what we practice, what good does that do for our world? The worst thing that I've known that has come for this is hate crimes. I've known we all have seen this at one point or another where somebody's closed-mindedness clouds their good judgment. Imagine a world with not having those type of things. You'd see hate crime rates drop faster than you can say the words, Merry Christmas. Better yet, what if religions conveyed a topic of tolerance more often than they do? I think that tolerance and acceptance would make for the best holiday season of all time. What if we put our differences aside for the holidays? What if the holidays weren't about religions and traditions? What if it was possible for us all to come together and celebrate living to see another joyous season, no matter what you believed in? Imagine what a beautiful sight that would be. I may be a dreamer, and I may be borderline ridiculous or insane. Call me what you will. I know most of my wild fantasies possibly might never even come true, but it never hurts to try and try to make an impact. That's why every year, instead of focusing on the hustle and bustle of the holidays, I sit down and write poetry and think about what I think the holidays should actually be about. I jot down so many poems about peace, serenity, and togetherness. Isn't that what people have always said that the holidays are supposed to be about? If that's true, then why bother pushing these religious groups apart? Why not come together? In the end, we're all human. We all wake up, we all breathe the same air, and we all walk the same earth. I'm not saying I want a monotone society. I'm definitely not saying that, because that would really be boring. I actually think it's really a good thing to have hopes and beliefs. I just think we should promote acceptance more than we already do. That's why, every year, I post my poetry online to places like Facebook. I do this year-round regardless of what day it is, but it's also my favorite holiday tradition of all time. So I guess I can keep writing, and dreaming of a perfect world like the dreamer I truly am. I'm always proud to say I'm a wild dreamer, and if you were to ask me what I wanted most for the holidays, I'd say the same thing every time. I'd say that I want all of humanity to forget our differences, wars, and struggles for a day, and celebrate the wonderful gift of life we've all been given, acceptance. Now that's the one thing I truly believe in.
That's beautiful. That is so beautiful. Thank you, Kayla.
Thank you.
It was such a remarkably poignant thought as well. And it wasn't just a story; it was a great commentary because tolerance is oftentimes dwarfed by fluff. It really is. And you're right. Tolerance is something that we have to do something about. You know, I mentioned to the two of you earlier before the show that I'm a docent at the Holocaust Museum, and I have done that for many years, and it's a really rewarding experience. And I've talked about that on this show as well. When I do a tour with kids, I make it very clear to them that tolerance is all about doing things. You can't take that passive compliant position. If you see somebody getting beaten up on the schoolyard, you've got to call somebody and make sure the kid isn't hurt. If you see somebody drop a tray in the cafeteria, you don't stand up and applaud. You get up and you try to help that kid pick up his food, right? These don't sound very profound, but I think that's what you're talking about. It's not just about in-depth tolerance. It's not just about the kind of racial equality and the kind of diversity that we oftentimes think about. It's about everyday gratitude and understanding, because differences are really blessings rather than constraints. And I think that's a beautiful commentary. Really a great, great job. This is Hank Rubicek with Shannon McKerchy, and you are enjoying eighth graders Carson Brown and Kayla Club from Johnson Middle School on So What's Your Story, only on KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 for our friends in Livingston. Or KPFT.org if you're listening online. But whether you're online, in line, out of line, or even in a lineup, we are really thrilled that you're here. Kayla, what is the ultimate message that you want to send through that story?
The only thing I really want people to get out of the story, if it's the only thing they get out of it, is just to be more accepting and not isolate yourself from other cultures.
Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Carson, your story is seasonal, but it has a curious title. It's entitled Unhappy Holidays, and you told me that it originally had another title?
Oh, yes. I was thinking about naming it Happy Holideath because it is mostly about my sister, Kennedy, who she recently passed away in July.
Yeah.
But then I decided that would be kind of insensitive.
Yeah. Well, you're strong to do this. It takes a lot of courage. Your sister is someone you love dearly, right? And you see her every place, don't you? What is something you see every day that reminds you of your sister?
Well, we live really close to a Taco Bell, and one thing I really remember...
A Taco Bell?
Yes.
This is how you're going to celebrate your sister. Your sister is listening to you right now. You're talking about Taco Bell.
Well, one thing
go
I really...
Go ahead.
One thing I really remember about her is that she loved tacos. She loved tacos. She loved Mexican food.
Yeah.
And every day she would say, "Hey, Mom, can we have tacos today?" And then we'd have tacos some days, not every day, of course.
Yeah, it's a beautiful. It's the simple memories that matter, isn't it? It's a simple matter. Let's hear your story.
Who will be on your mind this holiday season? What will linger on the edges of your consciousness before you go to sleep? Is it the huge holiday dinner, lighting candles on your menorah, or discovering wrapped presents under a decorated tree? Whatever it is, it's probably joyful or reverent, right? For me, however, the holiday season will be sort of depressing because my family will be celebrating, can you hear the quotation marks in my voice, with one less family member. Having recently lost my sister, Kennedy Brown, has left a crater in all of our hearts. This past July, on the 19th, we lost Kennedy to an aggressive brain tumor that could not be removed. My sister was born on February 4th, 1999. In the first years of her life, she always tried to be so independent. She insisted on dressing herself and bathing herself, even when she was a small child. In 2006, we moved to St. Louis, Missouri, and for the first time we were really able to have a sizable backyard and a suitable environment for playing outside. Every day, we were outside playing in the woods or sledding during the winter. Most nights, our mother had to make her come inside before it got too dark. Our neighbors didn't help matters either. Most of them had children, and they always wanted to play. I remember one little boy, and every morning, school day or not, he was at our door at 7 o'clock, that's 7 o'clock a.m., asking, "Can they play?" They, meaning us. She got so excited in 2009 when our parents told us we were moving back to Houston. She was excited to show me and my brother the school she went where before our first move. When I was in fifth grade, that was when we first learned that she had cancer. I was going to sixth grade and terrified, but even though she was hurting and she was scared, she always put on a smile to reassure the rest of us. She even wrote a list for me of do's and don'ts for middle school. She was in the clear for almost 2 years until this February, when she suffered from a relapse. Before her relapse, she was going to Carnegie Vanguard High School, you know, that smart people school. She loved high school. Every day she got up and got ready, and she was excited about her school. I've been, and it has a beautiful campus. The months before her passing were the hardest time of my life. Having to just watch her die and not being able to do anything just killed me inside. I'm still experiencing the shock of not having her anymore, even now, months later. Sometimes I can barely drag myself out of bed or force myself to eat. I don't even know what's going to happen this Christmas. It's just that she, my sister, was always at the head of present buying and planning parties. On past Christmases, we always had large parties and stayed up late until the night. I would bake sweets, and she would take on the decorating and inviting every single person that we know. Whenever I needed advice, Kennedy had the answers. Whenever I had trouble with someone at school, she was one who threatened them into behaving themselves. I learned so much from my sister, how to be kind, how to kick butt, even how to talk to girls. She told dirty jokes, played sports, and fished. Even when her left arm was pretty much unusable, she still held her ground on her independence, insisting that she could do things for herself. Exhibit A, when we went for spring break in Galveston, we had rented a beach house there. She stood in the cold surf for a long time, determined to catch a fish for herself. Or how she figured out how to unwrap an hour later, that's a kind of candy, with one hand, quickly. Even now, when she's gone, she's still telling me what to do. Sometimes, when I'm really trying to make a decision, I'll hear her voice in my head. It's like, really, Kirsten? I would go with answer B. And then I say in my head, but it's obviously A. I did the work and everything. This inner conversation can go on for several minutes, or at least until I realize that I need to finish the test and stop talking to myself. She affects everything I do. No, not literally. When I do things, I often stop and think, WWKD, what would Kennedy do? This holiday season, I'll be praying for people like me who lost someone they loved and at the same time lost their way. You're not alone, and if you look hard enough, you'll discover that you were always on the right path and have never left it. Now, I'd like to wrap up with a poem that I wrote. It goes kind of like this. Like autumn leaves, human lives blaze bright before the fall. The candle of life blown out by the chill winds of oblivion. Like a bright butterfly caught in a spider's web of old age with death drawing ever nearer. Still we cling to life, fighting our inevitable downfall before we rise to God's light.
What a beautiful, beautiful story about a beautiful person. Thank you, Kirsten, so much. Let me ask you something. What does the poem do that the prose doesn't do? What do you communicate in a poem that you don't necessarily communicate in that short story?
Well, with writing, you're kind of limited by the grammar rules and everything. Mm-hmm. But then in poetry, none of that really applies. You can just put a few simple words on a paper and they can mean a whole different thing than their individual definitions.
Yeah, they paint different pictures. They really do. And listening to both of your stories, and I love this, people who are listening to the show don't see what I'm seeing, but I really see the two of you let that story unfold. Your stories are unfolding. As you're letting that story unfold, what are you thinking about when you're telling that beautiful story, that first story about your sister? How does that make you feel when you tell that story?
Well, I feel happy because she's up in heaven and she's in a better place right now, but I'm sad because I don't get to see her anymore, mm-hmm. and I'm not with her.
It's all about perspective, isn't it? It's how you see things. It's about perspective. It's about tolerance and accepting, and it's about intrinsic perspective. It's a beautiful, beautiful thought. You know, I always talk about how stories transform us. And in the case of you two, you transformed us for the better. These are beautiful thoughts and beautiful words and beautiful images, and I thank you so much for them. Whenever you tell a story, you take people on a journey and return them safely to the present. And that's precisely what the two of you did. Let me ask you the same question that I asked Kayla, Kirsten. What precisely is it that you want us to get from that story?
Well, I just want to say, if you lost a loved one, and they would probably want you to muddle through the holidays without them and just try to be happy, just without forgetting them, still remember them, yeah. But enjoy your life.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, let's shift tones for a moment. Let's see how you guys handle announcing. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Shannon, you're ready for this, right? Go.
So, Shannon, I hear you do a great job with the So What's Your Story Facebook page. What makes it so special?
Well, it's the place to go because I post about guests, tellers each week, articles, and storytelling events around town, and so much more.
Hey, Shannon, who will be our guests on next week's edition of So What's Your Story?
Well, Kayla, we'll have Marshall Hawkins, a very funny lawyer and a terrific teller I found at the Moth.
Actually, it is Harkins. Were right the first time. Yeah, I forgot his name, too. Carson, you wanted to say something?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Shannon, I understand you'll be doing a show all by yourself on Christmas. What do you have in store for your listeners?
Why, thank you, Carson. Director Deborah Schultz is bringing the story of Miracle on 31st Street onto the airwaves.
34th Street.
44th Street.
Goodness. You're the same way I am. They're just, I know. It's you're threatened by them. You're threatened
Obviously
by their eloquence.
I am. They're just too amazing
Sober
at their
up
age.
In there. Sober up. See, you got her going. Go ahead.
Okay, the miracle on 34th Street, if I might say it correctly, on Christmas Day, right here on So What's Your Story.
Well, that sounds great.
Be ready.
That sounds great. I love it. Okay, now, we also want to make sure that we talk a little bit. That's great work, guys. Great work. Very good. Keep your day jobs. No, actually, that was pretty good. Great work. Also, our proud sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild, hands down the best storytelling group in the state, has its monthly story swaps on the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Multi-Service Center at 1475 West Gray. Check out our site at www.houstonstorytellers.org for all of the fun happenings. You guys need to really come here every week because those voices rock. You are listening to guest tellers Kayla Club and Carson Brown on So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 Houston. Your parents are so proud of you. You know that, right?
Yes.
Just look at them. They can't even.
Yes.
You're unbelievable.
My mom is fantabulous.
I mean, unbelievable. And your teacher is also fantabulous, right? What makes you so special? I ask everybody this, but she's a remarkable teacher.
Well, she honestly cares about all her students and what she's doing at Johnston.
Yeah, she really does.
She's not in it for the paycheck or the pension or any of those retirement benefits.
Yeah, but I already talked to her. She's not going to do it for free. But yeah, good point. Very good. She is a marvelously committed educator. She's pretty special. What were we going to say, Kayla?
She's more than just a teacher to all of us. She's like our mentor. If we need anything, we know we can come to her and feel safe around her.
No kidding. Absolutely. And speaking about proud parents and so on and so forth, Kayla, your mom wanted to be sure that we read this poem by one Sabrina Club, which I thought was your pen name, but it's your mom, because she emailed it, and that's her name, and she's right over there. And after reading it, I can understand why she'd really want you to share it with us, because it appears to be filled with anti-war sentiments, correct?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely, and it is a masterpiece, and that's not a word I use very often,
Kayla. Well, thank you.
It is, honest to God, it is so beautiful. Please read it to us.
Okay. How do we run our world? How do we run our lives? Why must we fill them with these blood-curdling war cries? Why do we let it go on? Why must it be this way? The few things that are good in life are slowly fading away. You ask me what I can do. You think that I'm insane. What doesn't take a genius to see all of this so plain? You say we've lost all hope. You say we've all drifted apart. But how can you see the end of something if you've made no real effort to start? You say there's no resolution. You say we were born to judge and quarrel. Well, I'll never believe we were meant to judge race, skin, or apparel. Why am I a dreamer, you ask? Why am I so idealistic? It's simply because I believe in change and being diversely artistic. The way I say it is simple. The way I tell you won't change. I always believe that hope isn't that far out of our range. Maybe if we dropped our guns, maybe if we made amends, our world could be a peaceful place full of peers and friends. I'll never give up on the serene, and I'll never let my dreams fade. Because if I'm not here to dream, who will lead us to these peaceful days?
Beautiful. I want to ask you the same question I asked Carson. What does a poem do that prose doesn't?
It's just so much more emotional, and you can really connect so much better with it. Well, because when you're reading a story, you're just reading something you've already written. But with a poem, you can just express it with so much more emotion and passion. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, we don't want to underestimate your stories. I know what you're talking about. I mean, poems are by nature more ambiguous, which sometimes makes it, it's going to sound oxymoronic, but it really makes it more clear because we're creating a kind of image in our mind, and those images work much like a photograph. And poetry paints those kind of photographs. Prose selections are a little bit more explicit. But, you know, the way that you two tell stories are very, very artistic and very emotional. And as you know, and I'm sure Mrs. Ault has talked about this, that words really don't mean anything until we do something with them, right? They're arbitrary. They're abstract symbols. They don't mean anything until you do something with them. We could take the same English sentence and we could make it mean anything we want by the way that we emphasize a word. Is that right? I can say, Jack, that's your sister, Jill, which means Jack has amnesia. Or I can say, Jack, that's your sister, Jill. I can say, Jack, that's your sister, Jill. The next one is my favorite. Jack, that's your sister, Jill. Jack, that's your sister, Jill. You get the idea. So we don't want to underestimate the power of prose. We really don't. But the fact that the two of you write short stories and poetry with equal aplomb is, in my judgment, at least captivating. And it is not done very often. Not at all. We can't get enough of you guys at Johnston Middle School. I have to tell you, we love having you here. How was it? Any shout-outs to friends? What do you think?
Yes.
We're almost done. How do you like this?
Well,
matter of seconds.
It was great, and the radio station
sound so enthusiastic about that. That was great. You enjoyed it?
Yeah, it was amazing, because it smells like Jamba Juice in here, which I like.
It smells like what?
It smells like Jamba Juice. You know, the smoothie place?
What's the matter with you? What's wrong with you?
I figured he'd mention that.
Yeah, you're the dreamer. What do you think it smells like? Yeah.
I have.
You having a good time?
Yes, sir, definitely.
Yeah. What about your friends? How many are listening?
Millions.
Millions. And that's right, because this show is being broadcast internationally.
We are the world.
Across the world. You know that. I just want you to know that. How many of your friends are listening?
I'm not sure how many have actually gotten to listen.
What was their response when you told them you're going to be on the show? They
cool.
What show? Right. That's probably the first
thing.
Oh, cool.
I get to tell people my friends are on the radio now.
Oh, yeah. Listen, thoughts and ideas shaped by words and gesture are done effortlessly by the two of you. Thank you, Carson and Kayla, for your energy, your spirit, your creative genius. Shannon and I are your biggest fans, and that is the truth. We wish you and your families the happiest of holidays, tolerance and acceptance and love. Complete with peace, joy, and more laughter than the law allows, right? You want to stay put? Because Scooter is up next with the Inner Side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story, and I'm going to keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. I'm Dr. Hank reminding you that it's never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.